Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A happy Thursday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. Great to be with you guys. Got another great show on the program today. We're going to talk a little Indiana football. Can Kirk Cignetti and the Hoosiers do it again after a magical season this past year? We're also going to talk about the Washington Commanders, who also had a magical season. Jaden Daniels leading into the NFC title game. We will talk about the Washington Commanders, big expectations for them again this season. We will also, later on in the show, dive into some Major League Baseball as well. We got the Orioles and the Mets underway currently. No score in the bottom of the fourth at Camden Yards. So we'll dive into some baseball, some plays we have for the afternoon. Then we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. As always, any questions, any comments, any best bets that you guys have for us, let us know. You can hit us up at the BetMGM Network on Twitch, on YouTube, on X. We'd love to hear from you. We'll get to your questions over the next 30 minutes. And if you guys miss any part of the show, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast, which is available wherever you get your podcasts. Let's get rolling on a Thursday. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line. Check in with Dylan Sin, who joins us. Give him a follow on X at Dylan Sin. Does a great job for the Journal Gazette. Dylan, it must have been an awesome year covering Indiana last year. You cover Indiana, Notre Dame, and Purdue, so you had two playoff teams, which must have been awesome, but certainly Indiana, an incredible story. Cignetti, that mania just sweeping the nation and kind of everybody falling in love with that story. What's it been this offseason heading into year two, right? Because it feels like Indiana's not going to be sneaking up on anybody this year. Do they feel like they're still an underdog role that they're thriving on, or are they kind of embracing now that everybody knows that they're here to stay and kind of taking that challenge?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because they did obviously have the greatest season in program history last year. You go 11-2, but they didn't feel like they ended the season the way they wanted to, right? Like, they started 10-0, and they had two chances against Ohio State and Notre Dame to really make their mark in the way they wanted to, and they didn't play as well as they wanted to in either of those games. And they've been very upfront about their, yeah, they had a great season, and they did more than anyone expected, but they also left what they felt was a fair amount on the table. And so they have a lot of guys coming back this year. I think that's the thing that a lot of people haven't really realized is IU brings a fair amount of that of last year's team back, even before we get to the transfers they brought in. So they are motivated to go out there and do it again, because I do think a lot of people are kind of saying, well, it was a one-year wonder. Of course, they're not going to do it again. They can't do it again. So there's still plenty of that underdog mentality in this program. Kurt Cignetti is making sure of that. And they're going to come into the season with that chip on their shoulder again in the same way they did last year. The schedule is more difficult, I think, but it's still going to be one of those things where they have a chance to do some damage here.
They're going to have a new quarterback, a veteran quarterback coming over from the University of Cal, and Fernando Mendoza. What have been the impressions of him so far up to this point, Dylan?
Yeah, they like him a lot. I think, number one, they like him as a leader. I think that was something that really stood out at Cal and has kind of transferred over to IU, was he is a guy who the locker room is going to rally around. And so that's, and you needed that because Curtis Rourke, who was their quarterback last year, was that guy as well in spades. But to bring him in and kind of be able to make sure there's no kind of drop off at that position was huge. I think that one thing they really like about him is his mobility. Curtis Rourke last year obviously played the entire season with a torn ACL, which we learned about after the year. Real warrior stuff that he was able to do that, but it really limited his mobility and what they were able to do with like moving the pocket and getting him in space and things like that. Mendoza has that kind of mobility. Now, at Cal, sometimes it was a little bit more of a detriment because they didn't have a great offensive line, and he would run himself into some sacks. I think that's the number one thing you're looking for this year is with a better offensive line, which IU's is and should be better than last year and better than Cal, can they do some creative things with Mendoza, get him moving in the pocket, get him to extend plays and see if you can make some plays out of structure. I think he's shown so far since he's gotten there that he has the ability to do that in addition to what we all know is a big arm. So they really like what they have there. They think he was one of the best quarterbacks, not the best quarterback in the portal this offseason, and they feel like they can win a lot of games with him behind center.
On the other side of the ball, the defense was terrific for Indiana last year, had a bunch of sacks. They were awesome against the run, just a really technically sound group. They do lose some guys, but also bringing back some key pieces from last year's defense. What do you expect that unit to look like this year?
Yeah, I think it's going to be really good. I think there are very few teams in the country that have an All-American returning on the defensive line, at linebacker, and in the secondary. So all three levels of the defense, IU has an All-American from last year coming back with Mikhail Kamara on the defensive line, with Aiden Fisher, a linebacker, and then with D'Angelo Pons, a corner, whom a lot of people consider one of the best corners in the country. I certainly do. I think he is really, really talented. So that is a fantastic foundation upon which to build. You're right. They did lose some pieces. C.J. West, defensive tackle, both defensive tackles, frankly, with James Carpenter going as well. That's going to be tough to replace. They brought in some good transfers to that position. It's just a question of can those guys stand up to some of the better offensive lines in the Big Ten, which Indiana is going to face this year. So the defense has a great foundation. It brings back the coordinator and Bryant Haynes, who I thought was fantastic last season. Keeping him was a huge, huge deal when he had opportunities to go elsewhere. So I think the defense is going to be really good. It's just a question of, I think, along the defensive line, in the interior especially, do some of those transfers that they brought in, who have talent, who were coveted in the portal, do they hit?
What's your area of concern for the Indiana team? You mentioned maybe the depth a little bit on the defensive line. Would you say it's that? Is there another area that maybe concerns you heading into the season?
Yeah, I think it is that defensive tackle spot. Now, they did a good job bringing in guys who on paper are really good. Jose Wheeler is a good pickup for them at defensive tackle, All-Conference USA guy. But it's just a question of whether you're going to be able to hold up in the middle there. Getting C.J. West for them last year was so, so huge as a late portal addition, beating out LSU for him. And then he went out there and wrecked shop most of the season and is in the NFL now. So getting that kind of production in the middle really freed up their linebackers to do a lot of different things and blitz and play free. That's why Jalen Walker and Aiden Fisher were as good as they are, I think, and despite the fact that they're talented players in their own right. So if I had to pick an area of concern for this team, it's defensive tackle. But it's hard to say that's a concern because they did address it in the offseason. And I think that's what's most impressive to me about what Indiana did this offseason was any area you could pick out and say, well, I don't know about that one. Well, that looks like a concern. They went out and got a really high-level transfer to fill that spot, right? And so I do think that they have a really well-rounded roster. There's not a position where you look at, boy, that's a real red flag there. It's just a question of whether some of these guys who have played good football elsewhere are going to play good football for IU.
We're talking with Dylan Sin here of the Journal-Gazette. Give Dylan a follow on X at Dylan Sin. And Dylan, I think a lot of people, you know, program like Indiana, you have that dream season like they did, 11-0, you go to the college football playoff. They probably expect some regression this year, right? In Indiana, maybe they go 7-5, maybe they go 8-4, something like that. This is obviously the test of the great programs and maybe just the programs that are good and have great seasons every 5 years, every 10 years. What do you expect out of Indiana this upcoming season? Do you think what Cignetti is building is sustainable? Obviously, in a really difficult conference, do you expect there to be some regression this season? What are you kind of expecting out of Indiana?
Yeah, the way I've kind of been describing it to people is I have no idea if their record is going to be as good as it was last year, just because that was such a, it was one of those things where just everything came together, right? They played a relatively soft schedule. Michigan was down on top of that, and then they started out 10-0, and it was kind of magic, right? I think the talent level for this year's team is actually higher than it was last year. I think this is a more talented team, to me, on paper, than it was last season. Now, is their record going to be as good? I don't know. Like, they could have regression in record while being a better team overall, just because they're playing a more difficult schedule. They got some more difficult opponents in the Big Ten this year. They're almost certainly going to start 3-0. It's three relatively insignificant non-conference opponents. And then you get right into the meat of the Big Ten schedule. You get Illinois, Iowa, Oregon, back to back to back. Iowa on the road at Kinnick. I think that the game to circle for Indiana is that game against Illinois, the Big Ten opener. There's been a lot of discussion in the offseason about how can Illinois be this year's Indiana, which I think is silly because Illinois went 10-3 last year and IU was 3-9 2 years ago. But it is one of those things where Illinois is trying to be that upstart program from the Big Ten that breaks into the upper levels of the conference this year and steals a playoff spot, right? But you're getting them at home. Can you, if you go out there and win that game, suddenly you're 4-0 with a win over a team that's almost certainly going to be in the top 25 at that point. Now you're cooking, right? Now you feel like, okay, this is maybe there for us again where we can make another run. So circle that game. It's going to be a great game between two teams that are really trying to crash the party again. Should be a lot of fun.
Certainly will be. Vegas, they have their win total, Dylan, at 8.5. Indiana's the over is +110. So it feels like odds makers expecting an 8-4 season out of Indiana. I think it's totally fair. You say you don't know record-wise what to expect out of Indiana. If you had to make a guess, what do you think the Hoosiers finish this season? What do you think their record ends up being?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a cop-out, but I think I'm going to go 8-4. I think that would feel like a disappointment to some IU fans, but I don't think it would be. I think 8-4 against this schedule for a team that 2 years ago was 3-9 is still really, really impressive. And so I think that you win most of the games you should win. Maybe you steal one that you can't, that you weren't supposed to, and you end up 9-3. But I think 8-4 is probably where this team settles up, and you feel like, hey, 2 years in, Kurt Cignetti has had a real, real nice run here to start his tenure.
No doubt about it. Great stuff, Dylan Sin. Check him out, Journal Gazette. Give him a follow on X at Dylan Sin, joining us here on Send It In. Dylan, really appreciate the time, man. Hope to catch up with you during the season, and have a great rest of your summer. Thanks again for hopping on.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem at all. Great stuff there from Dylan Sin as we keep it rolling here on Send It In. Talking a little Indiana football, and you can see right there on the screen as Sean pops up the schedule. Again, that was really one of the big storylines with Indiana last year during that incredible season. They did have a soft schedule, didn't have to play Penn State, didn't have to play Oregon. Michigan had a down year, and then, of course, they ended up playing Ohio State late in the year, ended up losing that game. But this year, you can see schedule a little bit more difficult for Indiana, as Dylan was mentioning. How about those three road games that they have at Iowa, at Oregon, and then at Penn State? That's not going to be easy. Also, that Big Ten home opener against Illinois. And you could have some tricky games along the way, because, again, what's going to be one of the biggest challenges for Indiana this upcoming season is the fact that they were so great last year. Cignetti did such a great job. They're not going to catch anybody sleeping this upcoming season. So that'll be something for Indiana to navigate for the upcoming year. As far as the roster goes, I mean, Dylan said they might be even more talented this year than they were last year. I don't think that's a crazy take. I kind of agree with them. I mean, you heard him say on defense, they have an All-American on all three levels, right? D-line, linebacking core, and in the secondary, that's really good. Mendoza comes over from Cal. I always liked him as a quarterback. Think he's going to be solid. How about Roman Hemby comes over from Maryland as their new running back? He's going to be terrific. And then they're going to have one of the best receivers in the Big Ten, guy who was second team Big Ten last year in Elijah Surratt. So, again, like Indiana, both sides of the ball, right? Kind of all three levels, quarterback, running back, wide receiver on offense, all three levels on defense. And then offensive line is going to be solid. They're going to be experienced. They're going to have a really good team. And what you got to love about Indiana is they're going to be well coached. They're not going to beat themselves. They were so great last year in winning the turnover battle. They were so great in being disciplined and not committing penalties. Now, you would expect them not to be as great in those categories this season, but still going to be really good. And, I mean, how good is Kurt Cignetti? Guy's had 14 years as a head coach, and he's had a winning record all 14 seasons in the college level. Guy's been really, really good. So we know Cignetti is the real deal. Obviously not expecting Indiana to do what they did last year. Their win total at BetMGM is a reflection of that, with the win total being 8.5 and the over being at plus 110. I really think that is a perfect number at 8.5, right? I mean, the three road games for Indiana are going to be tough to win. They're going to be big underdogs to Penn State. It's going to be tough to win that game. They're going to be underdogs to Iowa. We know Kinnick is always a difficult place to play. The Oregon game, I think, is interesting. I don't know if Indiana is going to win at Oregon. Autzen's always a tough place to play. But they are coming off of a bye. They're going to have 2 weeks to prep. And Cignetti, throughout his entire career as a coach, has been so good off of a bye week. So that could be one of those games where Indiana, off of a bye, gets a fast start as an underdog. You make that a fourth quarter game in Eugene, you never know what happens. So maybe that game could be interesting. I'd still pick Oregon to win the game. You get three losses there, and then it just feels like it's going to come down to all the home games. Is Indiana going to go undefeated in their home games in the Big Ten schedule? If they do that, then you got to feel good about the Hoosiers going over 8.5 wins. I think it's a perfect line, though. I'm staying away. Interested to see how Indiana is for the upcoming season. We're getting ready to talk about the Commanders, who, I mean, we're kind of the Indiana version of the NFL. These teams are so hard to handicap because Indiana is not one of the big brands, one of the premier teams in college football year after year. The Alabamas, Ohio States, Georgias, where these teams just reload year after year. Indiana, they could be the TCU from a couple years ago, that TCU team that goes all the way to the national title and then kind of falls back down. They could be that Auburn team with Cam Newton, wins the national title, then kind of falls back down. You know, I don't think we all expect Indiana to be one of the top programs in the Big Ten year after year. They're just not going to get the recruits that Ohio State, that Michigan, Oregon, Penn State are going to get. But I think they're going to be a really solid program. They kind of could be what Iowa is every single year in the Big Ten. We always know what we're going to get out of Kirk Ferentz's teams every single year. I kind of think Indiana could be another version of that. So I'm afraid to bet against Cignetti. I'm afraid to fade him and bet the under on Indiana. I just wouldn't bet the over, though. I think 8.5 is a perfect line. So I'm going to stay away from Indiana's win total as well. Chase Kitty on Twitter, Taylor Fritz plus 400 against Alcaraz tomorrow morning, but only plus 220 in set one. Interesting. How about our guy Chase Kitty coming on the show yesterday, giving us the Sabalenka upset as she goes down today to the American Amenasova. So great shout out by Chase Kitty giving us that winner. And keeping an eye on Taylor Fritz tomorrow. Definitely betting the over in that match, over 37.5 between Fritz and Alcaraz. As Chase Kitty was telling us yesterday, Alcaraz tends to play with his food a little bit too much. Fritz has been great on the grass, so I think that match could maybe go a little bit longer than people expect. Reed Phillips, any live plays for the Scottish Open? Reed, you know we were on Sam Burns big, we're on Adam Scott big. Burns shot a 3-under today, he's in a nice spot. Adam Scott 1-under, not in as great a spot. I still like Sam Burns a lot. I will tell you, Victor Hovland looks very good. He was very popular this week. Victor, obviously from Norway, very familiar with Lynx golf, playing out in Europe. He's had a great track record in the Open Championship. He's had a good track record when they've gone overseas. I think Victor might be a good look for somebody to keep an eye on over the next 3 days. And then, Reed, how do you feel about the overs for Cubs, Twins, and Rays and Red Sox? No play in Cubs, Twins for me today, Reed, or on Red Sox, Rays when it comes to the totals. Do have a side that I like, though, in Red Sox and Rays, which we will get to here in a little bit. But let's talk some Washington Commanders on the show as we continue our previews here on Send It In. And Washington, you guys, they got a big boy schedule for this upcoming season. Obviously, they got to play the NFC East. They get Dallas, Philadelphia, and the Giants two times this season. They got to play the NFC North, which is not going to be easy. They got to get the AFC West. We've obviously previewed all the NFC East schedules so far over the last 4 days, and it's all the same, essentially, right? Play your division opponents, play the NFC North, play the AFC West. all these games, all these schedules for all these teams are going to be difficult. Washington's schedule, though, jumps out at me the most, and it's probably the reason why I like fading them for the upcoming season. Their win total is sitting at 9.5, and the under is even money at +100. The reason I like Washington under 9.5 wins and why I want to fade them this year isn't because I expect Jaden Daniels to regress like crazy. Jaden Daniels is the real deal, folks. He might already be a top five quarterback in football. You're not that good as he is and just completely fall off the face of the earth. I think Jaden Daniels is going to be good. My biggest concern with Washington is this is not a franchise that is obviously used to success here in the last 25, 30 years. Usually, I mean, Washington made their first NFC championship game for the first time in 25, 30 plus years last season. The reason why the good teams stay good, the reason why the Chiefs are always good, the Bills always have a good regular season, the Ravens always have a good regular season, the Eagles have been good in a regular season, is because their quarterbacks are good, but also they're used to getting everybody's best shot throughout the season. And that is going to be Washington's biggest adjustment this upcoming season, is can they adjust from the team when Jaden Daniels is a rookie and surprising everybody and nobody realizing how good he was and how good they were going to be, to now they're not catching anybody off guard. People know coming into this year that Washington absolutely could be a playoff team for this upcoming season. They're minus 140 to get to the playoffs. Not only that, but how about the fact that Washington this year plays essentially 7 primetime games, 7 standalone games for the upcoming season, 6 in primetime and then 1 international game in Spain against Miami. They also have a week 18 matchup against Philadelphia, and that game very well could be to decide the division potentially. That could be that Sunday night game in week 18 as well. So you're looking at a possible 8 primetime games for the Washington Commanders. How many times are we used to the Washington Commanders usually getting 1 primetime game? Maybe 2 primetime games. Usually seasons where we don't see them in primetime at all. Now they're getting 7 off of 1 great season from Jaden Daniels. They're putting them in primetime. They loved what they saw from Jaden Daniels so much, they're putting Washington in primetime 7 times. That is my biggest concern for Washington, is when you play in those primetime games, man, you're getting everybody's best shot. And it's going to take a toll on that roster, on that organization, that coaching staff, that as a group, as a collective unit, they're not used in playing in all those big time games. They're not used in playing to all those primetime matchups. I think that is the biggest concern I have with Washington. I would feel a lot differently about this team if I looked at their schedule and they had 13 1 o'clock games this year, if they had 14 1 o'clock games this year. 7 standalone games for the Washington Commanders, including a Christmas Day game against the Dallas Cowboys. They have a stretch where they play Monday night against the Bears, then they're at Dallas at 4:25, then they're Monday night at the Chiefs, and then Sunday night football against the Seahawks. That gives you an idea of the stretch that Washington is going to go through, playing big game after big game, prime time after prime time. So that's why I really don't like Washington this year, because let's say they do survive that gauntlet and somehow they get to the playoffs playing that schedule and playing all those primetime games. Are they going to have enough left in the tank to make a run in the postseason? Are they going to have enough left to get to a Super Bowl? I don't think so. It's a learning curve for Washington. This is where you want to be. You want to have a great quarterback. You want to have a team that people are trying to beat, that people are gunning for, that people are looking at you as a team that they need to go through to win the NFC and win the Super Bowl. But I think this is a step back year for Washington, not because Jaden Daniels is going to fall off a cliff and because I expect him to regress like crazy. It's because of the schedule and how many primetime games that Washington is going to play this year. So under 9.5 wins for the Washington Commanders at +100. I would rather bet that than for them to miss the playoffs at +115. Because again, Washington could only win 9 games and still make the playoffs. That's a very real possibility. I'd rather just take the win total under, especially at even money, and get that at +100. So that's what we got for the Washington Commanders. As for a promo from our friends at BetMGM, it's an any sport, no sweat token. Get in on the excitement at BetMGM with an any sport, no sweat token. If you don't win your wager, you'll get a stake back in bonus bets. Brought to you by the Sportsbook Born in Vegas. Please download the BetMG app today and please gamble responsibly. All right, let's get into some baseball bets that we have here on this Thursday. We got the Orioles and the Mets underway right now. The Orioles are currently losing 1-0. bottom of the fifth. That loss they suffered two nights ago, you guys, was just so bad. They traded away one of their relievers today in Brian Baker. So the Orioles are obviously going to be sellers at the deadline. We're going to have some more trades underway. Cubs and Twins scoreless in the top of the second. Reed, you talked about the over 9.5. You're getting it at 8.5 now, so getting some good value there. And those are the only two games currently going on. We do have a doubleheader today between the Orioles and the Mets, as Sagano's going to be on the mound for Baltimore. The Mets have not decided yet who they are going to throw in game two of the doubleheader. The total is at 10.5. I'd probably just look at a Mets team total over. After Sagano was so good the first 2 months of the season, he's really started to regress a little bit. It's a guy coming over from Japan as a 35-year-old. It took the MLB a little bit to get adjusted, get some film on him. Now that they have, teams are starting to hit him hard. They're starting to see him well. So we're looking at Mets team total over there in that game. Marlins and Reds. We got the Reds as a minus 170 favorite today. The Marlins are going to be plus 140. Cal Quantrill on the mound for Miami. Cincinnati going with Nick Lodolo. Folks, we've done a lot of shows where Nick Lodolo has been making starts at home in Cincinnati, and we love fading Nick Lodolo in those spots because his splits in home and road, very drastic, much better pitcher on the road, sub 2.5 ERA on the road, whereas at home, it's got an ERA nearly 4.66. So I would look to fade Lodolo today. And the Marlins, before yesterday losing, had won 10 straight road games. They've been awesome on the road. Give me Miami at plus 140. Mariners and Yankees today in the Bronx. Give me the Mariners at minus 118. Brian Wu has arguably been the most consistent pitcher in all of baseball this season. The guy has made 15 starts and has gone at least 16 innings, has gone at least 6 innings in all 15 of those starts. Would be impressive if he went 16 innings in all those starts, but he only went 6. He's been awesome for Seattle. Going up against the Yankees today, we're looking for the sweep. So not only are we getting Brian Wu, he's been going at least 6 innings in all these games. You're also getting a Seattle team looking to avoid the sweep today in New York, so I like the Mariners at minus 118. Rays and Red Sox. Reed, you asked about this game with the total. Staying away from the total, but I'm fading Boston. I'm taking Tampa today at minus 110. Walker Buehler has not been good this season for Boston, but not only that, I think we're overvaluing the Red Sox here just a little bit. People are going to look at the standings. They're going to look at the recent performances for the Red Sox, and they're going to see that Boston has won 6 games in a row, and that's great. Problem is, those 6 games were against Washington and the Colorado Rockies, arguably 2 of the worst teams in baseball. Now you step up in class, go up against a Tampa Bay team that usually over the years have played the Red Sox really tough in Fenway. Give me Tampa minus 110 today against the Sox. Guardians and White Sox today in Chicago. Guardians minus 135. You got Logan Allen on the mound for Cleveland. White Sox going with Jonathan Cannon. I'm going to take Cleveland at minus 135 today. After losing 10 games in a row, the Guardians finally had a nice series at Houston. I think they take some of that momentum into this series against Chicago. Great opportunity for the Guardians to build a little momentum heading into the All-Star break weekend. So we'll take the Guardians at minus 135. And then Nationals and Cardinals today in St. Louis. Mike Soroka against Miles Michaelis. Nats with a great performance yesterday. Blowout St. Louis. I'm going to stay away from that game today. Braves and Athletics in Sacramento. You got Spencer Strider going up against J.P. Sears. I can't bet the Braves, especially at this price, until Brian Snitker is gone, right? Braves are kind of the third team I've felt this way about so far this season. It was the Orioles early on in the year when they needed to get Brandon Hyde. They finally did. They look much different. The Nationals with Davey Martinez, they finally got rid of him. They won yesterday big. I'm not betting the Braves until they get rid of Snitker. They need a big-time jolt to that clubhouse and to that team. So until they get rid of Snitker, I'm not going to be betting Atlanta, especially at this price. So I'd look at the A's today at plus 145. Rangers and Angels today in Anaheim. You got Patrick Corbin on the mound for Texas, and that's really what's going to seal it for me in taking the Rangers at minus 105. Corbin's been really good so far this year for Texas. I think they get the win today in Anaheim, so give me the Rangers. And then Diamondbacks and Padres. D-backs are a favorite today in San Diego. I think that's telling you a lot with Eduardo Rodriguez on the mound against Randy Vasquez. Give me the D-backs minus 120 today. Get the win in San Diego. All right, you guys, let's wrap up the show. TJ's Place here on Send It In. Going streaking, let's go with a little Jaren Duran to get a base hit today against Taj Bradley. We are at 7 straight in going streaking. We're going with Jaren Duran. He's on a little bit of a tear right now, and he's got good history against Taj Bradley, going 4-for-11 against him in his career. So our play today in going streaking is going to be Jaren Duran. Nick Lodolo is going to be our prop lock today, fading him over 2.5 earned runs at +110. Told you guys earlier, Lodolo's splits home and road, very drastic. At home, 4.69 ERA on the road, 2.56 ERA, does not like pitching in his home park. So I think fading Lodolo today, going over 2.5 earned runs for him, especially at the +110 price, that's a good buy. We'll take that as our prop lock. We're staying right in that very game for our dog of the day between the Marlins and the Reds. Give me Miami on the money line at +140. Talked about yesterday the fact that the Marlins had won 10 straight games on the road, and it felt like nobody was talking about it. Well, they finally lost yesterday, so now that streak is over. I think most people expect the Marlins to kind of just turn back into the Marlins team that we all kind of expected them to be this season. I think they bounce back today going against Lodolo, so give me the Marlins at +140. And then finally, my best bet today is going to be the Commanders win total under 9.5 at +100. I'm taking Washington under wins. It's not a knock on Jaden Daniels. It's a knock on the schedule for Washington and the fact that this franchise and organization is not used to being in the spotlight. They're not used to dealing with so many games in prime time, so many standalone games. They get 7 standalone games this season. That's a lot of games that you got to get up for. That's a lot of games where you're facing teams at their very best, teams that are going to be highly motivated, and you're getting their best shot. Don't know if Washington's ready for that quite yet. We'll go under 9.5 wins for the Commanders. And Sean is telling me that we got some breaking news in the recruiting of college football. Lamar Brown, number one overall recruit, is going to go to LSU. So there's a little college football news for you as well. Thanks again to Dylan Sin for joining us today on the show. Appreciate you guys tuning in as well. We'll wrap up the week tomorrow. We'll see you then.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.